said talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You stupid bitch, you filthy!
Welcome back to Flyover State of Fear. I got a great guest for this week. Janine is back. How are you, Janine?
I'm doing good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. Happy horror days. I'm sorry for the terrible pun. I'm good. So this is now the second time Janine's joining us. How have you been?
Been good. Good. A lot of podcast recording and watching a lot of holiday horror myself for the shows. So yeah, I'm ready to talk about this movie.
I feel like there's more. Yeah. We're talking about Better Watch Out today. I feel like there's more holiday horror than like ever. Right.
Yes.
A year ago, literally almost a year ago to the month, I feel like we talked about Scream.
Yeah.
It was like December-ish.
Yeah. Which I think it came out around Christmas time, I want to say, like, when
yeah,
it was
or like January, yeah, something like that. So yeah, I'm really happy to have you back. Anything recently you've been watching? Because anyone listening, we're not going to do the normal let's get into your origin story, because we did that on an episode.
Yeah.
Actually talked about your origin with Scream and A Sleepover, and please check that one out. And I'll say it up front, check out our co-host Morgan as well episode. Yeah. We're talking Wicker Man. And check out their podcast. It's a wonderful podcast, a channel. You guys pump out so much stuff. I'll save that for the beginning. What are you guys currently working on?
Well, we are doing holiday horror films that Morgan hasn't seen. So we talked the Black Christmas remake, the most recent one. Not a great movie, it brought up some interesting conversations. But yes, we were not a fan, but like we were kind of excited about the potential that this movie could have.
There's potential. It was one of those things where I had seen it too, where you're like, ooh, you almost went there.
Like the intentions were great, like of the themes, but it just did not execute it well.
It's very political. But you know, when you talk, like if you talk with especially politics with someone and you're like, oh, you almost got the point you should have got, that's that movie.
Yes, that's why I wanted to talk about it. So we did that.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about some really ridiculous ones. Christmas Evil, Silent Night, Deadly Night, and Rare Exports. So
those are great. Those are great picks. Yeah. I can't wait. Check them all out. Or look out for them, depending when this episode's released and your stuff's released. That's awesome. Have you seen anything recently, I guess, within the genre or anything like that, that, just want a quick mention or?
I really loved Barbarian. I'm just excited this year had so much horror released.
Yeah.
So that was definitely one that stood out to me, just doing some really interesting things and kind of playing with the audience in terms of like your character doing all the stupid things that you don't want them to do. But I think that was like intentional.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Barbarian. And it's one of the few movies, and actually what we're talking about today reminds they're not the same movie, but of go in blind and you'll be as thrilled as you possibly can be.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I remember the first time I saw Better Watch Out, I went in blind.
Yes,
and
same.
I was genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
Barbarian, same thing. I remember on Twitter, someone was like, no, nothing. And it was easy to stay away.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you were like, holy shit, this one actor appears. This person isn't this. This isn't this.
Totally subverting your expectations, 100%. Same with this movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But no, it's been a really good year of horror. I think I've seen all the major ones.
Yeah. Smile.
Smile was very, I enjoyed Smile.
Yeah.
Same with like Pearl and X were both really, really enjoyable. And one same kind of diverted expectations. They weren't the movie that was advertised, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That was the point.
Yeah.
yeah, I definitely was dug. There was other one that we're just talking about it. If you have the chance, there's a movie called Deadstream on Shudder.
Oh, okay.
And you'll get a kick out of it. It makes it's a horror comedy that really digs at the YouTuber, because it's all okay. about a Twitch YouTube live stream about a guy who's trying to like redeem himself by hiding in a haunted house, and he's that obnoxious like. Mr. Beast is the wrong example, but it's like that.
Like that? Okay.
Kind of. They nailed it. It's a low budget. It was so fun.
Yeah.
That's a top one for me. But anyway, okay. Last year when we spoke, you were like, let's talk about, you were like, I love Better Watch Out. And I think I think the day we recorded, I had watched that and like all the special features, ironically, or something like that. So I was like, next year when it comes around,
yes.
talk about it. So, why, before we read the synopsis or anything, and anyone listening, this is spoilers ahead, you know the show, it's a breakdown, and why Better Watch Out?
It was just a really fun surprise. I was not expecting the build of it, because you get kind of all these false starts of kind of the tension. Mm-hmm. You know, you have these characters and something kind of creepy is happening in the house, but then it's just his friend kind of coming over and like fucking around, and then you have this burglar, and then that's something else, and then so like just the build of all these kinds of twists, and even kind of revealing the twists really early on, I think was a nice surprise as well, because they don't typically kind of do that. And I think, you know, in looking at behind the scenes stuff, the original script didn't have the twist being revealed that early.
No.
I liked that. I liked that change up.
Yeah, no, I like that you point that out. Yeah, it sounds like for my like thing of looking at it, it was like the original script and story, that writer wrote it that way, and then it sounds like the director
came in and rewrote a lot of it,
fixed things, and it's directed by Chris Peckover, which it's kind of a bummer. So he did a Reddit AMA for this movie. It's like really the only kind of thing you could find out, and like he's kind of active on Twitter, it seems, but. Someone asked, like, oh, what do you, this is 2016 or so. The movie,
it's
$3 million and it, I think, has made like less than 200,000.
Yeah.
I don't think they gave it a big.
No, I think it was festival release and then a wider release in the UK and then like a limited release here. Yeah.
Movie's fault. But it makes me think, and my mind started wandering today of this is the last thing on his IMDb, almost all over the place, except for like a thank you in a 2019 movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if that caused him not to get another thing, because if you look at his Reddit AMA, it mentions, I'm working on a soup, you know, something, you know. Just
this other movie, Limbo, that he was kind of working on before this and then went back to after this, but I haven't heard anything about that.
Maybe that'll keep. But anyway, no, I love that you picked it for that reason, because it really does it does that good job of the fake out, but it doesn't feel cheap, right?
Like, yeah.
I loved when I saw it was, and this was a streaming and same time watching Blu-ray order for me.
Okay.
So if I like something, I order Blu-ray as I'm watching it.
Yeah.
If it's under that $15 mark.
Yeah.
I just get it.
Yeah.
So I really liked it, but the surprise of it was that it was like, oh, it went here, and I knew nothing about it. I was like, invasion movie, and it's Christmas theme, and that's not what it is. And as you know, and you kind of inspired this to happen, my show has stayed the same since we've talked, is because of our Scream conversation, I read the synopsis of the from Google.
Okay.
And because when we did Scream, it didn't give any description. I don't know if you remember, it was like
it's like
modern classic horror movie directed by Wes Craven or something like that.
So it's since very vague,
I like to decide, do we get a description or do we get bullshit? And so I haven't read it yet. Let's see what they have to say.
Okay.
All right. Ashley travels to the suburban home of the Lerners to babysit their 12-year-old son, Luke, during the holidays. She must soon defend herself and the young boy when unwelcome intruders announce their arrival. Okay. I actually like that description.
Okay. It doesn't give anything away. Okay. I know the trailer kind of gave some stuff away. So I'm glad the synopsis was pretty secretive about kind of the bigger things.
I'll give that one the A+.
Yeah.
Like that works. I didn't watch the trailer, but you don't need to give it away.
Yeah.
Some quick fun facts about this, and we'll reveal more, but the number one was, and I could not, you can't unsee it, is the doorknobs.
Yes, they're so high.
They're so high. So you first watch it, I didn't notice it. And then the director in the making of, or even before that, called that out, and it's because they filmed in Australia.
So that's what I assumed.
And in Australia, I guess, and I was there, but I was 18, so I don't remember.
You're not
Australia.
Looking at the doorknobs. Yeah.
The doorknobs are higher. And
yeah.
Laura walked by as she wasn't watching, but I was like, look at the doorknobs. She goes, oh, yeah, they are really high. Yeah. And they're, it's so noticeable then.
Yeah.
And then the other things are, Ashley, Olivia DeJong, and the other kid, Ed Oxenbold, I hope I said that right. Mm-hmm. Luke, I'm sorry, he's Garrett, not Luke, Ed Oxenbold, the friend. They were brother and sister in The Visit.
Oh, yeah, in The Visit.
And that this is the only, everyone in the cast was Australian except for Patrick Warburton and Virginia Madsen. So,
Yeah, because it's like a very kind of isolated cast. It's like these five people.
Yeah, I don't even think the Carolers get like credited.
Yeah.
It's the only other. So, anyway, the movie kind of just starts off with her talking to her mother on the phone driving, and like she stops and almost hits a black cat, and you know they're trying to set up like a bad thing's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But she gets over to babysit. We do meet Virginia Madsen, who I love Virginia Madsen.
Yeah.
She looked great there, and like. You know, I think a Candyman with Virginia.
Yes, I'd like to think it's a bit of like horror stunt casting, which I always love to see. Yeah,
has to be. Because I'm like, welcome on a return, and like, it's like her. It's probably like the same year. It's like of like women who look great in films that I just think of immediately are Virginia Madsen in Candyman.
Yeah,
and Cameron Diaz in The Mask. I don't. They're very different.
Oh my
types
gosh!
Of,
they're
shown, but it's two. So like they're on screen. And I'm like, oh yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. The, gorgeous. Anyway, so she showed up, and they're quick in it. And one other fun fact, really funny, is Patrick Warburton is on screen. Putty from Seinfeld, and is he Joe and Family Guy? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. So
and he was in Scream 3. So
and
Scream 3,
and he's on there. And what I found really funny is, so he has this bit, he's hanging up the Christmas tree ornaments, and someone with a dick or something like that. He has like a theme collection.
He has like, it's like these red ballet shoes from this kind of famous old movie, The Red Shoes.
Sorry. Anyway.
Yes. And so because he's very kind of into this, like very kind of effeminate kind of movie, you know, she has something to say about that.
Yeah, so he makes like very like she makes like some homophobic remarks and everything.
Yeah.
But peel back the curtain, and I got this from that Reddit AMA. Is so the director is a gay man.
Oh, writer, okay, director, I didn't know that.
And Patrick Warburton was like, "Hey, I collect gay Christmas ornaments."
Oh.
Like that's what he has, and the director's like, he had a box flown in of like from like A to Z of like a barometer of different types of
kind of gay iconography things.
Yeah. And he said that was his joke and his ornament, and that was he's like, what if we introduce my character that way?
That's great.
Yeah, so that's fun.
Yeah, that's really fun.
And so anyway, you get that introduction. It's really irrelevant plot, but it's so fun. But they do set up everything immediately. I mean, you meet this kid and his friend, Luke and Garrett. Luke's the main kid and Garrett. And
he's talking about like how he can seduce the babysitter.
Yeah, they're talking about the seducing of the babysitter. They're also talking about like Home Alone and like
could the paint cans really work? Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure I've had that conversation, or you watch Home Alone and you're like, that would probably kill you.
That would kill. That would probably dent your head completely.
Like, when I talk about this movie to people who haven't seen it, I'm like, oh, they do the Home Alone thing in it. That's actually like where I start.
Okay. Yeah.
Because.
Yes.
I feel like it's a good hook to get people to, if they're interested, it's like you kind of know what you're in for.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't love calling this a horror comedy. Even though it is, because of some of the underlining like sexual assault stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's where a hard line of like, where's your barometer of the comedy?
I think that's where the paint can kind of is where the tone completely shifts.
Yeah.
Because I think you can kind of call it a horror comedy up until that point.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're having these ridiculous conversations and, you know, there are some comedic moments with him just being really awkward and Garrett being kind of the comedic relief. So I think it doesn't really get real and serious until that paint can.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because they're and we'll keep going through, but like. Yeah, now that you say it, their dialogue is very like Kevin Smithy. It's like, you know, it's like people talk like that, but they don't talk like that, but it works within the frames of the movie.
Yeah.
So anyway, they do that, they set it up, and we get this like Virginia Madsen, his mom kind of is like, okay, well, you have to like give him sleep drops because he doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
He sleepwalks, she thinks, and I keep a pencil on his doorknob, and he has no idea, just so I know if he broke out. It goes, and that comes into play later. And so they're hanging out, the parents are there, and so this was a hard one to take notes for, because it's like you try to remember it on your first watch, because on my first watch, I didn't find Luke creepy.
No, he's super sweet, but like really awkward. And
yeah, like, he's like, I have a
her kind of relationship with him. Like, she obviously cares about him, you know, as like a babysitter would. Yeah.
Crush on the babysitter and like kind of goes all over the line, but it's still like, I'm not thinking what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You
just feel kind of bad for him thinking this could happen.
And then, like, and this is probably the fourth time I've seen this, fourth, fifth, and I'm like, oh, it's all there. Now he's just creepy. Once you know it's everything's creepy. So oh, by the way, Garrett had left, so it's just babysitter, baby city. Like the mom
and
he's
putting on a horror movie because he read that like that'll get her endorphins up or whatever. Yeah. And that's
and he's cracking open champagne to
try to look mature.
He's like, so I'll loosen up and whatever. Yeah. And she kind of breaks, and by the way, like, her boyfriend's been trying to come over.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend's like, but she's like, no, I'm good, and we do get a reveal that Ashley is moving away.
Yeah.
To Pittsburgh, and, you know, so I guess Luke is like, this is my chance, this is finally.
Yeah.
And everything was said, none of it works. He does save a spider from her.
Yeah, yeah.
As Laura put, that's the biggest red flag that he didn't kill the spider of that size.
Yeah. And then I think it's crazy. And then I think, but then the other scene too, when like there are like spiders on her, they were going to do that digitally, but they didn't have enough money. So she actually like had real spiders on her too. So very gamer. Crazy.
Yeah.
And she was terrified, but she was like, let's do it. I'm committed to this movie.
It's a Home Alone
reference. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many, like, cause even the house reminds me of the house in Home Alone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think like the director kind of his quote was, this is the house next door to the Home Alone house.
Oh, that's great. That is great. No, Kevin McAllister should be in prison just like this kid.
Right.
Kid's a menace.
Yeah.
So they save the spider, and then I think that's before the champagne, but they have the champagne, they sit down on the couch.
Yeah.
And he does make the pass, and she's just like, it's fine. You know, let's just finish the movie and get pizza, blah blah blah. And the pizza comes, but she didn't order it.
So that's kind of really big clue that like what is going on here. And so he's kind of like, oh, my dad must have ordered it.
Yeah. Okay. And then
the door open at another point too.
Yeah. And some phone calls are happening and she's like, okay.
Yeah.
And everything's just a little off. And like, that's the one thing I knew going into the movie that, okay, there is a home sort of invasion. Like that's not happening. Yeah. Cause the poster does a great job. Of selling you of it's just her
she's
and him and it's
him.
A knife and you're like great holiday home invasion movie final girl. The only thing was I saw some, and I'm jumping around here, on IMDb it was like the only review, you know, they sample a review of someone being like, nice take, it had to be foreign or something because it was like, nice take on a slasher, this is in no way a slasher
movie. No, it's not.
So I don't think that person watched it.
But
so the invasion happens, right? And someone comes in with a ski mat. Oh, at first it's kind of fluffling around.
Well, at first, they hear like noises and things in the backyard and kind of they get worried, but then it's just Garrett and he busts in and he's kind of like goofing around.
Yeah.
Then they hear something upstairs and they kind of go to investigate it.
Garrett runs out. Way,
Garrett runs out. Yeah, yeah. Garrett runs out and it looks like he gets shot. Right. So now they're like, what is happening?
I mean,
so,
these kids' commitment and their theatrics.
Yes. So like, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're getting like your several instances of tension building. So little things with the door open, the weird phone calls, the pizza showing up. And then kind of you think somebody's there, but it's just Garrett. So then you're kind of, you can relax for a minute, but then you hear noises upstairs. So it's like this build of like tension and subverting your expectations because you're kind of still wondering, where's this going to go? What is actually happening? So I love like the subtle fake outs that happen like throughout until we get to kind of the big moment.
The big moment. And so they're in she like hides the attic. She's like, do you have a gun? I mean, she's in survival mode.
Yeah.
And he's playing up scared. He's getting what he wants too. Like she's holding him and like
holding his hand and trying to protect
him. She's doing
it
like, I mean, I'd probably do that with a stranger if I was in a home invasion, not of that level, but of like, okay, we're gonna comfort each other.
Yeah.
So everything is appropriate in her eyes at the moment. Put it that way.
Yes.
And then like, they could see the robber inside. And she gets to the attic and she almost falls fucking out of the attic.
Yeah, he, but like, he saves her. Yeah. So then it's like in his mind, he's like, I saved her life. Oh my gosh, she's going to love me for
and
this.
That's
so,
the big
you know?
Plan. I mean, like, I mean, like, not because we know what the fair is. It's funny because it is very like 12-year-old boy thinks of like very like, you know, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah. Right.
And like, you know, I'm sure, I mean, you know, I should say, but like 12-year-old kid would think, right? I'm sure like a girl would be like, this is what romance is. And like, so it makes sense. And in that regard, but then she sees, they're hiding in the closet and she sees the robber and, you know, who knows what the next level of the plan was going to be
because he has the gun, he's like protecting her, you know, she's scared and he's like being really bold and like,
he's being manly.
I'll keep you safe. Yeah.
And and she peeks out and she's like, wait, that's your mask.
Yeah. Cause we see her look at a picture of him like on a ski trip with his family wearing that same mask.
It's very distinct. It has like a unicorn thing on it or something.
Yeah. Something like sticking out of the.
Yeah. And she's like, Garrett, get the fuck out of here, you know.
And we see Garrett constantly like scratching his shoulder. So then like when we see this burglar scratching his shoulder, that's like the dead giveaway.
Yeah. And like, oh man, like I this time I did think, oh, by the way, and she reveals and she freaks out and she's like, this was your big fucking plan.
Yeah.
You're a psychopath.
Yeah, you need therapy. Like the fact that you thought, you know, playing burglar was really going to get into my pants or you were going to get me from this. Like, you are insane.
Which is more than fair reaction than to say to anyone. So, but as the more I watch, the more I know Garrett, who, like, if you asked me before today, it'd be like, oh, well, like, you know, he just played along. He's also as bad.
Yeah.
Like, the shit they're doing, it's never like, except maybe the burglary at first, it's never like, oh, what a funny prank.
Yeah. I mean, he gets, when it gets kind of more extreme, he's kind of questioning it, but then he still just kind of goes along. Yeah, he still goes along with whatever Luke tells him.
So Ashley's like yelling at him, and Luke says, all right, yeah, and pistol whips her. Because he has a gun.
Well, like, it's like this really great surprise because she's walking away. Like, she's like, I'm going to call your parents. Mm-hmm. And she's walking away from him. And he's like, Ashley. And she's ignoring him. And like the last time he calls her, she turns around. It's like, what? And then he like hits her in the face. And you're like, what?
And she
falls down the stairs. Yeah.
Yeah. Conked out. I mean, she puts it later. I broke my neck, which is.
Yeah. I might have a concussion.
Yeah. And she's duct tape, but as she's duct tape, it's like the dreamy kind of sequence or like the phase. And
she's kind of waking up.
And Luke has given, I think the Oxycontin is supposed to explain Garrett's willingness to do things.
So he got in like the cabinet and like he's like on Oxycontin. So he's
they're drinking beers and he gave Garrett Oxycontin and they're playing Fuck, Marry, Kill with
Adventure Time characters.
Adventure Time.
Yeah.
If I knew Adventure Time, I would ask you who yours was.
Yeah, I have no
idea. I don't have an answer.
I don't know Adventure Time.
So for this movie, I'm going to marry Ashley. I'm going to fuck the kid from Stranger Things, and then I'm going to, Virginia Madsen.
Virginia Madsen.
Yeah, or Billy from Stranger Things, but Virginia Madsen, and then I'm just going to kill Luke because he deserves it.
Yes, I think that's probably
what would yours be, Janine? You have six people to pick from.
I would marry Patrick Warburton, probably.
That'd be a good marriage.
I would let him put his gay ornaments on my tree. Yeah. Yes, I would probably fuck Dr. Montgomery, which is, Billy from Stranger Things. He's hot. And, kill Luke, because he's just insufferable shit, so.
Actually, to create real quick is, I mean, we'll get to his scene, but I always forget. He's one of those people I forgets in the movie.
Until
you watch it.
Oh, yeah. I think this was like his first movie.
I think he was cast in Power Rangers.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, he was going to film it. And I think in the special feature, which is just a documentary of it, they were like, they did something like not very legal. Like he wasn't allowed to do the stunt.
Yeah. They didn't want him to get hurt before this kind of big action-y movie that he was going to do.
And they couldn't say what it was, but it was Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway. He was like, nah, I'm game. Like you have me for the day. Like,
yeah. So they did it in like very, but like, so they had to kind of cut around it. And do it in more kind of subtle ways, showing like different angles, because they were going to do, I think he wanted to do it all in just one shot. But just because, you know, they didn't want him to be in any kind of danger. And like, I think they were just going to have him in a harness, but like his people were saying that was even too much.
Sure.
So they had to kind of do all these different cuts and different angles, which I think just made the shot look even better. Like showing his feet dangling, showing close-ups of his face. I think it came out even better with kind of the cuts of different angles rather than just kind of one take. So I think it worked out better anyway.
A great thing that makes this movie look... the budget looked bigger than what they had.
Yeah.
Is the fact that the cutaways, like we don't get to see the hanging in frame or like really anything until after it's done.
Yeah.
Like the pencil in the cheek, the face smash, all that violence. Like
I loved how they did the face smash because we don't see it at all. But just kind of seeing the yellow paint kind of mixing with the red.
That's in my notes.
So good.
I tell you, that's the one I get people. I'm like, it happens in this because it doesn't spoil anything. It just.
Yeah.
So they're like talking amongst themselves and like. His excuse is Garrett's high. So Garrett and they're like playing along and they're just kind of playing like now. In some mind, they're playing like kidnapper.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Like, but we know Luke's not. Luke is like thriving. He's doing his best. Like he's talking like he's in a movie.
Yes. And so this plays into, like, I think something the director said and, like, what you were saying earlier about how he's just kind of playing at, like, what he thinks that's supposed to be. Because I think the director was talking about how he wanted to kind of portray the aspect of, like, kids having, like, unlimited access to the internet. And, like, if you want to know something, you can look it up. If you want to kind of see how to do something, you can look it up. So he's literally just kind of playing to things that he's seen in movies and acting how he thinks somebody like in this position would act. So he's has no concept or life experience to really kind of understand what he's doing. He's just kind of mimicking like this kind of attitude that he's seen on the internet.
Yeah, like he keeps rubbing his face with the gun, like a movie burglar would do, like, and then he does like very psychotic shit, like that's creepy. Like he, she has duct tape on, and he puts lipstick on her.
Yeah,
and he, like that's right. I mean, like, so you know, she wakes up. He was like, I'm gonna untape this, but don't do anything because I will kill you.
Yeah.
But she does play along. I mean, she talks back and still like one thing I love too is, and with the, more of the character Luke and her is, Luke thinks he's so smart and charming, but he's manipulative, but he's really only manipulative to Garrett. No one else falls for his manipulation.
No.
They more do it out of happenstance.
Yes.
Like, I guess.
He has this gun. Yeah.
Like, with going forward a little bit, like with DeCray's character, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't believe it, but he kind of sits down in that seat just to, like, get this kid away from it.
Yeah, like, just leave me alone. Okay, this is what it'll take for me to see her, then whatever, fine.
Yeah, and Ashley does the same thing early in the flirting. Like, he's trying to flirt.
Yeah.
And it's consistently that. I love that. That's why...
Yeah, it's not out of anything he really kind of
did. No, he thinks he's just so smart and, the director and the writer, they do a good job of, like, immediately myself hating this kid, and especially, it's where I'm like, the really, really, really darkness of this. So they start playing Truth or Dare.
Yeah.
And his goal is just to knock her out and rape her. I mean, that's as bluntly as, like, what the goal is.
Yeah. Eventually. He obviously couldn't get her the other way.
Because
so.
That's why he wants her to drink. That's why he wants her to drink
to
that.
To loosen up. Yeah.
You know, and she's smarter than that. And she knocks it out. And so they play, which, glad none of that happens. I really hate when movies try to do that stuff for shock value and then there's no message or meaning behind it.
No,
like,
it's literally just to kind of shock you and have you kind of be outraged and think that's kind of some type of art or interesting.
I know I shit on the structure a lot on this podcast, but that's one of the reasons why I really don't like Rob Zombie films.
It's just kind of torture porn for the sake of it.
Point being is that is like the underlining thing here, but we don't see it and it makes sense with the character. But they play Truth or Dare and there's like back and forth because he's like truth and blah 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 and, but the one thing, like, Garrett, because Garrett's 12, goes, touch your boob. And like it's there, and you know, and he's so frustrated at Luke and but then it's back to truth, and she is an adult. I mean, she was, what, 17, 18, supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
Older. I should say an adult. She's at least older and a little smarter.
She's, like, 5 years older than them, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, Garrett, she's like, did you know Luke killed your hamster?
Yeah, so she's like, okay, maybe I can turn them on each other and get his attention off me. And kind of get them kind of bickering.
And it works because he's like, it was an accident. We know now that this kid's a sociopath. And weaseling his way. And that scene really, it sets up everything. Like, they leave, they put the gun down. Where are we at with that? And you know, be a good double feature? This and The Babysitter.
Oh, yeah.
With Samara Weaving.
Mm-hmm.
Two Australians.
Perfect.
similar kind of horror comedy vibes and play on what might happen.
Yes, when you're babysitting kids. Yeah. But so, I know the director, he kind of also told her to kind of, he wanted her to be like an Ellen Ripley. So he wanted her to be a very strong kind of character. So I like even after kind of the groping scene, like he tries to be like, well, how did that feel? And she's like a little kid, like felt me up. And like, she's not afraid to piss him off at this point either.
Yeah. It's my mama. She's a pisser. Like it's great. And I think that's why the movie works so well in scenes like that. Aren't just, you know, she does it once and it's not to Luke. She never is like, well, let me play in to try to get him back, right? Like, I think a stereotypical script would be like, I'm gonna flirt back and then knock you out.
Yes. Yeah.
She only does that loosely at the end with Garrett. That didn't even seem like sexual. It seemed like
human. Okay, this is what I need to do to, you know, because he's the more kind of gullible, sympathetic one. I can kind of play with him in that way and get him to help me. Yeah.
So she, by the way, the I just want to note the hamster's name was LeBron, which I found very of like, okay, this is the age. It's really funny.
Yeah.
she wanted to take the drink. We mentioned it, knocks it out of the hand. And he's like, fuck, his plan is ruined in that sense. And he's like, I got to think of another way. And as that is happening, her boyfriend, Ricky, comes by.
Oh, yeah.
With flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a total surprise to her because she was like, don't come on over.
And like, I think Luke like threw her phone in the fish tank when it was all that kind of chaos of like somebody upstairs, but he really like had it in a plastic bag when he threw it in there.
Yeah, it was a good way to get rid of a phone.
Yeah.
Or thinking we're gonna, you know, no phone and
yeah.
And so what I love about the Ricky scene is he like busts in. Like he's like, okay, like let me get
let me hand her these in. Give her these flowers. I'll just hand them through the door and then
obviously in a million years no one's gonna guess that is what is gonna go on, but he's still busting because he's also like an 18-year-old who wants to talk to his girlfriend who's kind of a douche but not like the biggest douchebag.
And I'm not gonna let these dumb kids kind of like stop me.
And so he barge in and they actually do a good job subverting her. They're like, she is her period, she's diarrhea, she doesn't want to talk to you. And he's like, well, I'm going to go upstairs. She thinks she's upstairs.
Because he's like, she texted me to come over here. That's what he says. Yeah.
And they go upstairs. And I don't know why I want to keep calling the kid Aza Butterfield in my head, by the way. Every time I want to say Aza, but it's not.
Yeah.
Luke slugs him with the baseball bat.
Yes.
And he does get up, which I was happy to see, because some movies like you get like tapped on the head and you're out.
And you're done.
Like,
yeah.
That would hurt, but it's also a 10-year-old swinging or 12-year-old swinging it.
Yes, and he's also like dancing and being very kind of smug.
Movie-like.
Yes. Yeah.
So he hits him in the head. Yeah, he's dancing around and boom. But the kid gets up. What is his name?
Ricky.
Ricky gets up. And then he catches the bat.
Yeah, and he actually kind of, like, fights him a little bit.
Yeah, he fights him back, and he's going to knock him out again. And just because we know the pencil's under the rug.
Yeah.
Stabs him in the cheek.
Yes.
Which, it looks great.
It does. It looks really good.
And, excuse me, he stabs him in the cheek. And then he bashes him the baseball bat when he's down because Garrett comes up with a gun and Ricky's like, fuck. Okay,
he's like,
I'll do what you want me to do.
Yeah.
And then they have him taped up next to Ashley. And that's kind of when Garrett's like, yo, man, this is getting a little too far.
Yeah. Like, this was not, I don't think this was kind of part of the plan. But even kind of when Ricky first comes, I love that scene of just like, he's so close to finding her and she's like trying to make noise and she like knocks her chair over. And just the closeness of him like almost finding her is just like so frustrating. So I love that. Yeah.
So tense because they also don't like Garrett's not making that shot with the handgun. Yeah, you see in the corner, it's
very jittery. Shaky. Yeah.
So he's doing that, and they're taped up, and now there's this banter back and forth and everything. And we also, by the way, find out, and it doesn't matter as the person, but it matters to Luke, find out that Ashley has been is a virgin.
Yeah.
Like, and that her ex-boyfriend just spread lies, and like Luke's flabbergasted because he's a fucking child, doesn't realize that,
yeah,
you know, people have free will, basically.
Yeah.
So, but that's important with the Ricky situation. Like, this kid is jealous of anything,
yeah,
that has to do with anyone close to
Ashley. Yeah,
he'd kill his own mother.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the biggest overarching theme of this, is to talk about the parents, is the whole, like, kill your father, fuck your mother type of thing. Like, the sound machine is supposed to be the machine of the womb. And really all he wants is, like, for his mom to hold him. And that's why he's not sleeping. And then we get a little, like, thing about the end. But that's really the arching theme of everything.
Yeah.
And
I think that also plays into his entitlement of him thinking he can kind of get away with everything.
Oh, everything. Well, I have an answer for that.
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to me, we'll get away with it.
Yeah.
which is such a sociopath thing to say.
Yes, yeah.
They have Ricky tied up as well, and him and Ashley talk, and Ashley also, by the way, has gotten her hands on a piece of glass, like she's tried falling over, and she grabbed
a piece of glass, yeah.
Yeah, every time she's cutting off some of her duct tape.
Because
the boys keep leaving the room. Like, they're not good at this.
Yeah, because then they start arguing because Garrett, he starts smoking weed.
Yeah.
And so he's like, we can't have that smell in the house, so we have to blame it on Ricky and put it in his system so that'll explain who was smoking weed in the house.
Well, and Ricky, to help Ashley out, pees his pants.
Yes, which you've heard that thing, kind of like, you know, it'll kind of throw off your kidnapper. They won't, like, know what to do or how to handle it.
And Luke is so, I wouldn't know what to do with piss pants. Probably just leave you in your piss pants, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, at a 12-year-old kid, like, he's not knowing. He doesn't know how to deal with that.
He's so concerned with the house being clean.
Yeah.
That there's blood upstairs. I mean, it's already a mess. He wipes it up and he gets to throw it outside. And in that, you know, she gets her arm out and I think half of her foot.
Yeah.
And she also realized the kids are, and she's bleeding because of the glass. And she's like, because the kids are so preoccupied, they're not going to notice my sock is off.
Yeah.
And because her sock, like, takes off, she just wipes up the blood with it.
Yeah.
And Garrett starts smoking weed because they're very young, but they're like bad kids.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think in the beginning he was like, let's not do any of this plan that you have with your trying to get, like, in her pants. Let's just smoke weed. Like, my brother gave me some weed. Let's just smoke it. Like, that's kind of what Garrett says at the beginning. Yeah.
Great. It's what you should have done. We wouldn't be here talking about this movie. But
yeah.
they do this plan and Luke's like, well, now I got an idea to get rid of the weed smell, because he already has this whole thing
planned out,
orchestrated.
Yeah.
He gives him the joint and he makes Ricky. Ricky smoke, and Ricky's like, no, I don't touch that stuff.
Yeah.
And because adults are just wise, I'm not gonna take anything you give me.
Yeah, exactly.
But they force it in his mouth. And the smoke comes out of his cheek.
And they think it's hilarious that the smoke is coming out of his cheek hole.
Yeah. And that's when, I think the big climax of it is they drag him away underneath that, like, railing. And even Garrett's like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they, you know, there's some banter and talk. He's like, why are you hanging out with this kid? They felt very, like, some tension cutting. Because
Ricky's like, just like, really? You're listening to this doofus? Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
It's like, he's not your friend.
Yeah.
He's going to, and it happened. He will kill you if he gets the opportunity.
Yes, yes.
And, like, oh, and that's when it's so tense. Like Ashley is almost out of her thing,
tape, yeah.
But, yeah, once
And they left the gun over there, too. I think. Yeah.
your one swing of the paint can.
Yeah.
And nothing.
And Garrett's like, no, like Garrett's all kind of like not into this idea.
Yeah, let's play Mythbusters, yeah. I think he says. And like Garrett actually now is like, even though he's high and on, he's
on,
he's
had some drinks,
he has some oxys and he has some weed, I'd be out.
Yeah.
I've only had two of those things. And I'd imagine I'd be out.
I'd be out too. Yeah.
But he's like, no, because you're going to fucking kill this guy.
Yeah.
And Ashley does get there in time, but she says, let it go.
Yeah, she's like, she points the gun at him. She's like, put it down, stop. Like,
that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you just think, oh my gosh, okay, we're going to get out of this. She's going to save him. Like,
and that's what I mean by like, the boy literally speaks like he is a movie. Like, he almost has line for line in a Joker Dark Knight. He's like, wrong choice of words, and drops the paint can. Like, that is the Dark Knight of, Maggie Gyllenhaal hanging off the roof. He's like, let her go.
Let her go. Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Yeah.
And once again, if I was a sociopath in 12, I would have been acting like a movie character myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a sociopath for anyone listening. This is just,
this is just how I would be.
How I would do it. No, but he does that. And I mean, like we were talking about earlier, but the smash, you don't see it, but you know what happened, and it's all far shots, but you just see this yellow paint and this red drip into it, and it's, like, perfect.
Yes, and, like, I think you're kind of on Garrett's face as well, and you just see all this yellow paint splash in his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where you kind of know the contact, and just seeing all the paint and blood kind of drip into each other, like, such a cool shot.
And he's in paint the whole time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Ashley has this gun, does have a gun in her hand, and she thinks it's loaded, and she does go to pull the trigger after that, like, fuck you. And, Luke is like, you think I would put a loaded gun in?
Yeah, just leave it there? Yeah.
Leave it there? Like, I got it. And, so now it is... Now she runs out the door. She's like, I'm out. She has a chair to
she
her.
She still has half of the chair attached to her other half.
And
she
runs out the door.
Garrett goes after her.
Yeah. Why he sends Garrett is always like,
especially if he's like all high off his ass
and traumatized.
Yeah. Yes.
Because like the thing with Garrett is he's a bad kid, but not a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll call him a bad kid. Like, he's funny.
Down with doing bad things, you know, at the request of Luke.
Mm-hmm. But,
you know, he has, like, feelings about things going too far, but, you know, he'll do it anyway. Yeah.
Because you kind of learn a little bit, too, like, when he's like, when Garrett's like, yo, like, how are we getting out this? And Luke kind of does a little, I like backstory when movies do this. They reveal, like, Luke's like, well, remember in school we got out of this because I covered for you this way.
Yeah.
We did it this way. And it kind of gave me nuggets like, oh, this isn't the first time these kids have been doing trouble.
Yes. And they gotten away with it. Yeah.
It just hasn't been as big as murder or fake kidnap or kidnapping.
Yes. But they've gotten away with a lot. So he just feels very kind of entitled and empowered to kind of just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and his parents, I don't want to say because we don't know enough about them. They're not in a loveless marriage, but there's, like, distance.
Yes, they're pretty nasty to each other.
Yeah. I do love at the end when she's like, nah, I'm too bloated.
Yeah, right. She's, like, already setting up, like, it's not happening.
It's not happening. He's like, oh, we had a couple of martinis. What do you mean? So he runs after him, and Luke sets up a tripwire and a paintball gun to the tripwire just to slow anyone down trying to run through.
Well, that was how that's how they set up like Garrett getting shot earlier.
Oh shit, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we kind of know the trick behind that. So then she gets hit by the paintball gun. And she gets up and like Garrett inadvertently helps her get out of her chair and she almost gets away.
I feel like a Mortal Kombat character has, like, it's like almost like a weapon on the arm, you know, with their chair.
Yeah.
it's like a baton, but like taped to her arm.
It's like taped to her arm, like the arm of the chair.
And like Garrett's fumbling around.
Yeah, and so he like accidentally, like while he's trying to catch her, gets her out of the chair and like helps her on accident. And she almost gets away, and it's like so close. It's like just like the scene of Ricky almost finding her in the kitchen, mm-hmm. or her like almost getting out to stop the paint can situation. So it's like all these almost moments, and she's like right there. There's some carolers right there, and then like he hits her with a brick, and
she has help. Yeah, and a brick, which another Home Alone reference, the brick. That's Home Alone 2. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He throws bricks at the fucking robbers. Oh, yeah. And that should have murdered them,
that
too.
That would have murdered them, too. Yeah. I think there's actually some videos out there, like Home Alone with Blood or something like that. And it actually, like, edits it. Like, them really kind of getting killed.
He's such a sociopath. We're talking about Kevin McAllister. But, yeah, so she then is now... Now games are over. I mean, she is tied up like...
with Christmas lights, I think, now on a chair.
Yeah, which still, I love the Christmas aesthetic around. She's like tied up with all the duct tape and Christmas aesthetic. There's no getting out of that now.
Yeah.
At this point, Jeremy does come by. We kind of already going over that. Like, it's the... who's from Stranger Things?
Billy. Dr. Montgomery. Yeah, Billy.
Yeah, Billy. Dr. So Montgomery.
And I think he sets him up so that, like, he can blame all of this on him. All this mess and like, killing. He's like a jealous boyfriend.
Yeah, he's like, write her a letter.
So that's how he plays into it, yeah. Apologizing for what you did, and maybe she'll take you back.
And the guy just wants to get laid, so he's like, yeah, you want me to write this? Sure.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for what I did. And so his letter perfectly plays as, like, a suicide, like a murder-suicide kind of note.
You know what, knowing what we know, like, would anyone ever really put it together or be like, case closed, this guy murdered? Because I'm sure, like, this is a little too deep of it, but we have a podcast to talk about, like, the forensics of it doesn't make sense.
So he I think at the end he
love that.
So he like puts the gun on his hands. He puts some paint on Dr. Montgomery's hands, and like he makes sure all the fingerprints are aligned with everything.
So a little after that, we get to now he's just talking to her. I mean, they're just having a casual, not casual, but this is back, I mentioned earlier, where like the whole like womb and like mother, like motherhood and like missing youth kind of comes through motif of, he was like, basically he was like, the last time I was happy was my mom used to tuck me in at night and hold me till I fell asleep, and she doesn't do that anymore. You're fucking 12,
right?
13.
Yes, and you're over here thinking you can get this girl, but like that's kind of your emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Yes. It reaches the point of, I just want mommy to hold me.
That's always nice. And she says, what is the last, I wish I wrote down the last word she says. She was like, well, you know, I know it, well, I know why. And then she cuts her, closes her eyes.
Yeah.
Like, gives the, basically just like, I'm done talking to you. Kill me or
I'm going to shut down. I'm not going to be your little plaything anymore. I'm not going to engage with you anymore, because that's what you want. So I'm just going to kind of shut down. So she completely kind of shuts down.
And he takes out a switchblade and gives her a poke in the neck.
Yes. Well, before that, so while he's outside hanging Dr. Montgomery, that's when she's kind of trying to sympathize with Garrett. And, so, you know, she holds his hand, and she has tape in her mouth. So great performance from Olivia DeYoung, that she kind of has to like convey all this just with her eyes. Right. Mm-hmm. So her mouth's taped, and she's like trying to take his hand and kind of sympathize with him and give him these sad eyes. And Garrett is kind of like taking this as, oh, you know, maybe she likes me. So then he's like, starts, you know, cutting the Christmas lights and trying to like loosen her bonds. And then he likes kissing her on the cheek. And then all of a sudden Garrett goes flying across the room because Luke does not want anyone touching his plaything.
No.
And he shoots his best friend with a shotgun.
And he was like, why? And the kid's crying now from mom at the boom in the face.
Yes. Like you see him holding the gun to him and you think, oh, he's not going to kill his best friend. He's not. Yeah.
He's going to do that.
And then, he's like, I just want my mom. And then he like, you know, he shoots him in the face and not in the face, but he shoots him. And yeah.
Yeah. So that is a key part. They missed in them.
Yeah.
And then they have a scene and he stabs her in the neck after he can't get his answer, you know, and he's like, great.
She kind of shuts down on him. Yeah.
And this whole time he's been tracking his parents.
Yeah. On when they're going to get home.
He's like, great, blah, blah, blah. And there's this like, this is where I do love the tone of the movie with the music overplaying. Like one thing I know we haven't mentioned is like, after tense moments, there'll be like Christmas music playing. Like pairing really well with the violence.
Yeah.
It's very like Tarantino, that kind of like that style.
Dark style to a movie.
And there's this montage of him just having the fucking time of his life.
Like, yeah. Just,
like, planning, replanning the evidence, cleaning up.
Dancing around while he's doing it. And like earlier too, there was a scene of, you know, when he first had Ashley tied to the chair, he just takes a minute to go out and like listen to the carolers. Like, What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah.
Yeah, he's not worried about getting caught. He knows the carolers aren't going to see anything.
Yes. So he's like cleaning up, setting the stage, putting the fingerprints on the right things with the right person's hands. And then he like sets himself up to get ready for bed. Like, you know, this all happened while he was like fast asleep. But he can't get the pencil to stay, you know, outside the door. So he has to, you know, go through the window, go on the roof, set up the pencil and kind of go around through his window. But as he's, you know, his parents are driving up, he's knocking things over on the roof. So you're like, oh my gosh, is he going to get away with this? No, he's not going to get away with it. Is he really going to get away with this? And you're just kind of like pissed because you think he actually did this. He gets in bed. He turns on his little baby womb sound machine.
And he doesn't get away. I mean, he does, yes. But he does fuck up. Like, it is great because he's on that roof and I'm like, oh, that, it does look,
yes, good job of making falling it cold over
too.
Yeah. Yes.
We were just talking about, we just watched that Christmas Story Christmas.
Oh yeah. I haven't watched that yet.
And, it was enjoyable. Okay. And my only bringing this up right now, it seems very weird is, you know, the Christmas Story, it looks cold, right?
Yeah.
we were like newer movies, like in just the one we were watching, like it never looks cold.
Yeah.
Like even with the snow on the ground. And this movie does look cold. Like, him on the roof. I'm like, it's cold out.
Yeah.
But he's like fucking around and falling.
Yeah, knocking things over. And like the funny thing, I always see the director kind of talking about how, you know, it was like an 80 degree Australian summer. And this is like a set with snow. And so it's kind of just like messing with your mind. Like your mind makes you feel cold, even though like, yeah, you're on a 80 degree set. So yeah. So he's on this roof trying to get back in his room. He gets in bed. He does it. And, you know, he pretends he's sleeping and you hear just his mom scream from downstairs. She comes in to check on him. She's holding him just like, you know, he wants.
That's all for his mom to hold him. Close.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm so glad you're safe. And, you know, he's perfectly content thinking he's gotten away with it. And then you hear somebody call out, oh, we have a live one. And he's like, oh, shit.
Now, and they give us the audio of the paramedics being like, she put duct tape over the wound and saved her life.
Yeah.
And it's perfect because it fits the tone well. She flips him off.
While she's on the bed getting put in the ambulance, she flips him off. It's so good.
And that's it. And the kid's like,
looking out the window at her. Yeah.
And she said, you know, and then the credits kind of roll. And we do then get a little a stinger of him going, Mom, can we go to the hospital? Visit Ashley.
Yeah.
And so I like to believe that she does just get away with it. And that was just like his plan doesn't work. So I don't think he's that smart.
Yeah, no. But he thinks he is. And the fact that he's gotten away with all kind of other like petty crimes, you know,
I don't know what you think.
I think he did not get away with it. I'd like to hope that Ashley's bravery and smarts and in handling that situation.
Her flipping him off and everything. I'm like, she's in the ambulance. She's clearly, she's telling him.
Yeah.
Like, she's not saying, oh, you know, I think she's like, it was Luke.
Yeah, she's telling him all this on the way. Like,
even if she can't speak from where he stabbed her, she's finding a way to tell him.
Yes, yes.
She's alive enough to flip him off.
Yeah, yeah.
But
this is getting out, no matter what.
It's bad. It's great. I do love that it's a little ambiguous at the end. But
yes, yeah.
But you like to believe that Luke God is upcoming.
His comeuppance. Yeah, yeah.
It's almost better. It's not better that this movie wasn't a hit, because you would love it for it to be a hit, that we don't have like a Better Watch Out part two and they answer the question.
Yes.
And they want to keep Luke alive for his next psycho.
He's in some kind of like, you know, asylum or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did read, and maybe you can elaborate on it if you know it. The director said there was a more like nihilistic ending he had originally, like the bleak ending.
No, I don't think I saw that.
I don't know if he revealed what it was.
Okay.
Because he was doing, when the Reddit AMA I read, it was like to promote the movie. So he was kind of
He wasn't giving a lot away because he didn't want to spoil
and
it.
And I imagine just everyone died. That would be it. I mean, like, and I feel like that happens a lot with like horror movies.
Yeah. So maybe he did end up just having him get away with it or something. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like the always one I think of is like in Get Out, right? Like,
yeah,
the original ending is so bleak and it doesn't work.
Yeah, he gets caught by the police, goes to jail. Yeah,
and it was probably something like that, just the reverse. Although I did think, and I did hear, so I can't fully credit it, like how good of an ending would have been if he was, you know, he was always like itching his face with the gun.
Yeah.
If he just accidentally like,
shot himself. He's trying to be this big man.
The face as she's getting into the ambulance.
Yeah. And like just trying to be cool and like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing because he's an idiot. Yeah. That would have been kind of fun.
But no, great. Great pick, Janine. Anything we didn't like cover or, you know, you want to bring up about this?
No, I think we kind of hit all the points that, you know, I really liked about this movie. And movies with twists like this just in general are fun for rewatches as well, because then you can kind of pick up on things and see kind of like how things happened. And
all the breadcrumbs are really there. But
yes,
I also think, and maybe I'm naive, I never went into this movie just based off a cover. Oh, Better Watch Out. It's a horror movie. Home Invasion. I never went into it being like, well, there'll be twists too.
Yeah, exactly. You think, it's just a home invasion movie, Christmas horror. That seems cool. And then like I went into it knowing that there was going to be something cool because I just had people telling me, go in blind. So I didn't know kind of what to expect, but I knew it was going to be something interesting. And I really just was taken aback. I was really surprised at kind of the twists of this movie. I had so much fun with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely. I'm so glad you picked this, and this is our holiday episode.
Yay!
Because it's so underrated, and it's so well done that it doesn't feel like a B movie.
I mean, it won a lot of festival awards and stuff like that. And the Luke actor, I think he won a couple.
He's so good. The whole cast is so good.
I think the casting process was really difficult for them because they were like, how can we find young people at like 12, 13 who can like convey all of these really difficult things that we need them to portray? Mm-hmm. Like this sociopathic, entitlement. Like, how can we find somebody? And he was great. So,
You know, Garrett, he's distinct, like, right? He's like a funny, like, he's clearly comedic, really funny. Like, he's not as annoying in this role. He works as the friend because he's not as annoying as he was in The Visit.
In The Visit,
when he was a little younger and like
rapping.
Yeah. Oh,
oh my gosh.
Like, and you knew M. Night in that movie was just like, this kid's hysterical and like
wanted to have him kind of play that up. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, man, a little bit.
But yeah, maybe it is, but you're doing a little too much.
So glad you picked it. Where can we kind of covered in the beginning, but once again, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @JanineDeBean_. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @JanineDeBean. You can find the It's a Wonderful podcast feed, all places podcasts are found. We have our shows, Monday Madness, It's a Wonderful podcast every Wednesday or every Friday, and Morgan Hasn't Seen every Wednesday. So find the feed. We also have the It's a Wonderful podcast YouTube channel. We're doing a lot of fun stuff over there. Our Monday Madness show is our podcast where you can actually see our faces, and we just, it's a really fun kickback show. We do fun watch alongs and live streams. Morgan, he is a physical media collector, so he does some really fun video sharing his movie hauls. I do movie reviews, so all kinds of fun stuff on the It's a Wonderful podcast YouTube channel as well. So check it out.
Yeah, it's a great channel, and it'll all be below anyone listening as well, so you can get right to Janine or Morgan. Well, once again, thank you. It's always such a blast talking to you. So
Thanks for having me.
For what next one? What next one we choose? Yeah. To everyone, you know where to find us. Stay frightful and happy holidays. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Flyover State of Fear.